Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may that be our heart's cry, that we would say that you alone are to be worshiped and adored and exalted, and that, Lord, we, your earthen vessels, would be filled with your glory, that your name would be made higher than any other name, and that, Lord, you would draw all men unto yourself, that you would cause those that need to know you to come to a relationship with you, and that, Lord, we would shine brightly in the midst of this dark world, that you would be honored, and that many, many souls would come to glory and to salvation in you. We thank you for this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I just want to thank you. You do not know how much joy I get in coming here, in preparing the message, in seeing your faces, and spending time with you, and hearing the glory stories of the Lord. So I want to thank you. Thank you. It is such a privilege. It is such an honor to share, and more importantly, to speak from the Word of God. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost is the Greek word that means 50 or 50th day. It came from the Jewish celebration of Sukkot. And Sukkot literally translates in Hebrew as weeks. That's what it means. And what it was, is it was a memorializing of what God had done for the Jews. Two things that God had done so powerfully for them. And the first one was the Exodus from Egypt unto the time that they went to Mount Sinai was about a 50-day period. And that's when they received the law, the Torah, the first five books of our Bible. And so that was something that they, I mean, think about it. Here they were slaves for 400 years. And then God delivers them in a glorious and powerful way. And then they get to be there in the presence of the Lord to receive his law, to receive his word. They treasured it. They appreciated it so much. The second thing that they celebrated in Sukkot, or what we call Pentecost, is the wheat harvest. And so it was when the first fruits came, and then 7 weeks later, they would have this, they would be counting and waiting. And both of these things speak of anticipation. They speak of expectation. And it's such a good reminder to us that we should be looking forward to all that God has for us. We should be excited and anticipating the better things that God has for us, the good things that are in store for us. Sometimes we can look at this world, and are there a lot of trials and a lot of heartaches and a lot of struggles? And that's just for you that are here in the church. Can you imagine for those that don't know the Lord and the struggles and the heartache and the pain they go through without that support and the comfort that we have in the Lord? But we can give hope. We can give that light in the midst of darkness. I know it's my desire that wherever I go, I would be an ambassador for the Lord, that I would represent him well, that whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, I would say, Lord, I'm ushering you in via my presence in that situation because you live in me. And I remember when I lived in Staten Island, and I was visiting with a friend of mine. This was on the North Shore of Staten Island. We're on the corner of Westervelt and Taft. And as we were visiting, this was the lady that was a prayer partner with me, wonderful, godly grandma in the faith. And we were talking, and we saw this young woman who was a mother, a Hispanic girl. She didn't look like to me any more than 19, but maybe in her young 20s. But the thing that really caught my eye is she was pushing a stroller. And in the stroller was her daughter. And her daughter was very young, but she looked, something wasn't right. She was slumped over forward in the stroller, like she was just like a bag of potatoes. And I'm like, I said, I know you don't know me, but is everything all right here? She starts crying, the mother. She goes, no, it's not. She goes, I just went to the doctor. They don't know what's going on with my daughter. They don't know what to do. And I said, I know you don't know me, but can I please pray for your daughter? And she's like, yes. I said, is it all right if I put my hand on your shoulder, on the shoulder of your daughter, and if I hold your hand? And she agreed to that. And I prayed. And I said, Lord, just show forth your power. Show forth your healing. Touch this little girl. Touch her mother. Comfort them. And I regret I didn't ask the mom's name. I didn't know how to get a hold of her afterwards because we were just out on the street just talking and visiting. And here she comes. And so she left. We went back into the house of my friend. And then I said, oh, Lord, I don't know what happened to this little girl, but I'm asking you that you touched her. And I said, Lord, I'm asking that you give me the rest of the story. Somehow let me find out what happened. 2 days later, this woman comes with her daughter. This time she doesn't have a stroller. The daughter's with her, and the daughter's skipping away with joy and jumping. I go, wonderful. I said, what happened? She goes, we got halfway down the block, and it's like she just woke up. She just woke up, and she's been fine ever since. We are the ones that the Holy Spirit wants to work through, to speak life, to pray healing, to touch, to encourage, to listen to those that are wounded and need a comforter. And that should be our desire, that we should be anticipating, Holy Spirit, work in me, move in me, speak through me, proclaim through me, bring life through me, that you would be exalted and that those who are lost would be found. And those who are wounded would know healing and wholeness. Those who are broken would know true comfort from the Comforter himself. So next Sunday, as I said, it's also called Whit Sunday as well in English. And it's the reminder of 7 weeks after, 7 Sundays, excuse me, after Resurrection Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. That's when we celebrate the giving, the sending of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want to talk with you today. I want us to think and have our hearts prepared for what God desires to do, what he's already done that we need to take hold of, but what he's yet to do through us. If we would just be prepared, if we would just wait upon him. And you know, waiting's a very difficult thing, isn't it? It's like, especially in our culture, we have this saying, don't just sit there, do something. But the Lord really wants to say to us, don't just do something, sit there. Be still and know that I'm God. Wait in my presence. Because I can assure you, brothers and sisters, I can do a lot of things in my own effort and in my own energy and my own strength, but they don't amount to much of anything at all. But if I sit and I wait and I ask the Lord for his input, for his direction, for his instruction, what I do is effective, is efficient, is powerful. I've applied that even to running errands. And you might chuckle at that and say, what's the big deal about running errands? Well, when I pause and I say, Lord, what way do you want me to go? What way should this be laid out? It's amazing not only how smoothly everything goes, but I meet the right people at the right time, in the right situation, and I see God's hand and his desire to lead us and direct us every step of the way. Daniel and his 3 friends, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, were taken into captivity in Babylon, along with the other noble princes. And they were faced with a dilemma fairly early on, and it had to do with what they ate. Of course, as good Jewish boys, they had a certain strict law on what they could eat or what they could not eat based on the law of God. Well, their other friends that were taken into captivity didn't question it when they were told, this is what you're going to eat. This is what the king's providing. You're going to eat this. You have to deal with it. But not Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. They said, no, we don't want to defile ourselves with this food. We want to honor our God. So they went to the person that was in charge of them and said to him, please, we don't want to eat this food. We're asking that we could eat fruits and vegetables and water during this time. Is that a possibility? And he was hesitant because he says, it's going to be my neck if you don't look good like those that are eating from the king's table. He says, I'll do it. They said, well, for 10 days, 10 days. And if you don't know this, the Bible, often in the Bible, the 10 is a number of completion. And it's often associated with testing, a 10-day period. Because he talks about the church of Smyrna in the book of Revelation. It talks about them going through being thrown in jail. Some of them are even going to die and having this time of testing. And it talks about it being a 10-day period. Whether it was a physical 10-day period or whether it was symbolic of the fact they're going to go through trials. And the realization is for us, we're going through a 10-day period of testing. It may not seem like 10 days. You know, sometimes we're like, oh, Lord, when is this going to end? And I've come to realize in life, you can face a lot of things if you know the end is in sight. You know, it's like they say this old saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Well, sadly, sometimes we think it's the oncoming train. That's the light. Or sometimes we think, I don't see that light. You know, it's tough. It's so dark. I can't see the light. Well, Daniel and his friends did go through the 10-day period of testing, and they looked great. And so throughout the remainder of that 3-year period, they continued to eat this way, continued to honor the Lord. And at the end of that time, they looked 10 times better than all the rest. And so I encourage you that whatever trial, whatever struggle, whatever heartache you might be going through, the Lord has set the time frame. The limit is in place. He will not let you endure more than what you can endure. Sometimes I've heard this old saying, it's like the Lord trusts those that deal with all kinds of struggles and hardship. And that person's response sometimes is, Lord, I wish you didn't trust me so much. I wish you didn't, think that I could handle this. But we can, by his grace and with his help, we can endure anything. But especially when we know it's just going to be 10 days. It's just going to be a limited time frame, a limited period. That brings me to the disciples. The disciples, as you know, went on an emotional roller coaster, all kinds of feelings and emotions that they went through prior to Jesus's death, and then, hallelujah, his subsequent resurrection from the dead. And then he spent 40 days with them, teaching them, encouraging them, walking with them. And you can only imagine, they must have been so excited to say, it's true. What he's declared, what he says what he said he was going to do, he did. And all the things that he's promised us, we can trust, we can depend on. And so you can imagine the sweetness of that time of fellowship for that 40 days with him. But on the end of that 40 days, it was time for him to go. And as he was preparing to go, he told them some things of instruction. He said to them, don't depart from Jerusalem, stay here. And the second thing is wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. And that promise, as he said, was John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with fire by the Holy Spirit. And so he was saying to them, wait. And he said to them, it's going to be just a short time, just a few days, in a short period of time. That this promise would be given. And Peter, interestingly enough, and I think he so often asks the questions we sometimes desire to ask as well. He asked this question to Jesus. Is the kingdom going to be restored to Jerusalem now? Excuse me, to Israel now? Is this the time? In other words, he's saying, you're the resurrected Christ. We've seen you. Many have seen your glory. Is this going to be the time that Israel's going to be set free from Roman rule? Is Israel going to have its own nation again? Are we going to be our own people again? And Jesus' response to him basically was this. Don't be concerned about the seasons and the times of things. But I will give you power from on high. I will give you that power from on high through the Spirit. And we might ask that same question in our own way that Peter asked. Lord, you're the King of all. You're the resurrected Lord. we have your Holy Spirit living in us. Why don't we see more miracles? Why don't we see more answers to prayer? Why don't we see greater things than what we are currently seeing? And his response is to us, I'm going to endue you with power. I've given you the Holy Spirit, and I will send him forth in such a powerful way that he will work through you. He will move through you. He'll speak through you. He will bring forth the great works that I have for you to do. And so I'd like us to look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And at that time, they, of course, were the disciples, the mother of Jesus, the other women, and there was approximately about 120 strong believers, that core of believers at that time. That church was 120 strong. And before I continue reading, there was something that was very important that needed to be in place before they came to this point. And that was Peter. Peter was led by the Lord to bring to the disciples and the believers' remembrance about Judas, what was written about him, that this was written, that he was going to betray the Lord, but that someone would rise up to take his place. And Peter, with wisdom and with leadership and with discernment, said, we need to raise up someone else. So they put two people up for a vote, but ultimately said, Lord, who do you choose? Do you choose Barsabas, who is surnamed Justice, or do you choose Matthias? Which of these two do you desire to rise up to fill Judas's place that he was taken away from? And as they called on the Lord made it clear that Matthias was the one that was to take Judas's place. And I bring that up to say this to you. We need to say, Lord, what do I need to do so that I'm prepared for what you have for me? What do I need to do to remember your promises, to cling to your word, to hold to your truth, so that when the answer comes, I'm ready to receive it? Because if they didn't, and that number 12 is often associated with government. I mean, think about it. The 12 disciples, the 12 tribes of Israel, that number is that number of government. And so Peter, being familiar with the word of God, said, we need to fill this in. We need to have this completed. And for ourselves, we need to stop and say, Lord, is there anything that needs to come into alignment in my life that I would be more receptive? Because we often say, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of your spirit. That's a very good thing. But there's no lack of God's spirit. There's no lack of God himself. It's our receptivity to receiving what he has for us. And I can assure you that there are two things that hate one another. That is the flesh of man and the Holy Spirit of God. Those two things do not coexist. Those two things, if you are walking in the flesh, you will not satisfy the desires of the Spirit. You will not allow the Spirit to produce his fruit in you if you walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that we're trying to be perfect in ourselves. We can't do it. But what I'm saying is we yield. And say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Produce, bear your fruit in me. Walk in me. Dwell in me. Speak through me. Make your name glorified through me. And the more we submit and we surrender to the Spirit, the more that the Spirit has his way in us. The more that our hearts are prepared. So it's a matter of saying, Lord, I know over the years I've said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. And the Lord's reminded me often, he's like, are you prepared? Are you ready to see my glory? And obviously it's got to be his work to, like Isaiah that saw the Lord high and lifted up. He's like, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. There's no way I can stand in God's holiness. Well, God had the angel take the coal from the altar and touch it to his lips in order. Now for us, our purity, our holiness, is through Jesus, through his blood, and only through him. so we can stand. We can stand righteous. But the more we submit to the Spirit, the more the Spirit has his powerful way in us. And think about the disciples. I would think it would have been difficult to wait any period of time. Here's Jesus. He's risen from the dead, almighty, powerful, and he's going to heaven, and he's like, okay, it's on you guys now. Here's the baton. You're in it. Obviously, he didn't leave them alone. He said, it's actually to your benefit that I leave so that I can send your helper. It's actually for your good that I go so that the Spirit will not just be with you, but he'll actually live inside of you. He'll dwell in you. Talk about permanent and talk about forever. What a glorious thing that is. I'm so thankful that I don't have to face anything alone, that whatever I'm dealing with, whatever comes across my path, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. The Holy Spirit gives me wisdom, gives me discernment, gives me peace. So many times in life, when you're going through trials, when you're going through struggles, it's very easy to say, God, get me out of this situation. And the Lord has so often said to me, I want you to know victory in your circumstance. I want you to know peace in your storm so that you can overcome it. And you can't overcome something unless it's an obstacle, unless it's a trial, unless it's a struggle. And the book of James tells us so clearly, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work in order that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Unity, agreement, waiting on the Lord, waiting for his promise, expecting the promise of the Father, of the Holy Spirit. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. I'm so thankful that those tongues of fire didn't just settle on Peter alone, and then he kind of just was the leader and just kind of prayed over all of them. No, each one received this gift. Each one received what God had for them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? It's so amazing to me. There's a saying that we have, and it's this, that this person knows me well. They speak my language. And when you think about the Lord, there's nobody who's able to understand us better than him. He made us. He knows the processes of our mind. He knows everything we're going through. He knows the behind-the-scenes story. And he's able to articulate to us in a way that nobody else can. And I find it so amazing that here's the bulk of them are fishermen, uneducated in other areas, and they're able by the power, only through the power of the Holy Spirit, able to speak the languages that were represented there that day. And I'm sure with the perfect accent, with the perfect, you know, influx, everything, that people that were listening were like, how is it possible? These guys are Galileans. They're speaking my native tongue better than I am. better than I do. And what I see there is I see the Lord saying, I'm able to reach out. I'm able to, by the power of my spirit, to speak through my people to reach every tongue, every tribe, every nation. I'm able to minister in a way that reaches the heart. And sometimes we feel, what can I do for this person? I don't know how to minister to them. I don't know what to do. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want to speak to them? What do you want to convey to them? I had a situation like that years ago when I was living in Staten Island. There was a lady who was a young woman who was dying of cancer. And her cousin attended the church I was at in Staten Island and asked if I'd see her cousin. Her cousin's name is Julie. And I said, Lord, what do you want to say to Julie? This was the night before I went to see her. I said, I could say a lot of scriptures that I've shared beside bedsides of people who are sick or dying. But is there something specific you want to speak to Julie? And he says, yes, my son. He says, tell Julie, I've heard her questions. And she had two questions that she was asking. And for the sake of confidentiality, I'm not going to share what those questions were. But the Lord revealed those questions to me. And he said, this is her first question. This is the answer I want you to give her. This is her second question. This is the answer I want to give her. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so thankful I asked. I'm so glad that I didn't just do things my own way, that I didn't just approach it like okay, this is a person who's sick or who needs some comfort, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. Give her the word of God. But something so much even more personal, more intimate, more connected, to be able to say to someone, the Lord wants you to know this. The Lord has impressed this upon my heart. So I see this lady, Julie. She lived in Brooklyn. Yeah, she lived in Brooklyn. So we went to her house and I said, Julie, it's so good to see you. I said, I need to tell you that the Lord and I were talking last night and he wants you to know he's heard your prayer. And I told her what that question was that she asked. And her eyes got real big. She was, how do you know that? She looked at her cousin. Did you say something to him? She goes, no, I didn't tell him anything other than you were sick and wanted to visit. And I said, this is the Lord's answer. She just started weeping. I said, oh, and by the way, you have the second question. And I repeated the question. She goes, oh my goodness. She goes, how do you know this? I said, I don't, but the Lord loves you. The Lord knows you. He knows what you're going through. And she says, Ed, I've got one question now, one more question. I said, what is it, Julie? Ask away. She goes, how do I give my life to Jesus? How do I become a Christian? Peter, on that day, after the Spirit of God fell upon him and all the others that were there, spoke and proclaimed such a powerful message. This same one who had denied the Lord three times. The same one who was so confused about what he was supposed to do. Was he supposed to take a sword and cut someone's head off? Was he supposed, you know, how is he supposed to do this to advance the kingdom of God? Now, under the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, spoke with boldness, spoke with confidence, spoke with assurance. And he said a number of things there, but he began with saying, this is what the prophet Joel has promised. That in the latter days, the Spirit of God would be poured out on all flesh, on sons, on daughters, on young men, on old men's visions, dreams, on servants, male and female servants, on all flesh. And he said, this is what you're seeing today. Now, sadly, early on, some attributed to drunkenness. And isn't that often the case when we walk in the power of the Spirit? Some people look at us and think, what do you think? You know, what are you saying? What do you mean? That's ridiculous. But we know that the Spirit of God, in his power, in his might, in his authority, will bring about such a great, and in this case, a great harvest of souls. I told you earlier that the church at that time was about 120. Well, you talk about growth. After that sermon, spoken through Peter by the power of the Holy Spirit, about 3,000 came to salvation in Jesus, came and entered in to the folds, entered in to the church, And they continue to grow and grow despite persecution, despite hardship, despite all those things. The Spirit birthed His church in such a glorious way. Whatever place you might find yourself in, you may just be 10 days away from the answer. And maybe not a literal 10 days, but that time of testing, that time of waiting, that time of expectation, that time of anticipation, that all that God has for me is on the way. And that same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave is alive and active in us today. That same Spirit that spoke through Peter on that Pentecost Sunday is alive and active in us today. But what we need to do is to surrender ourselves and to submit and to wait upon Him. And I present a challenge to us as a body of believers. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, as I've said. I would encourage you to take 10 minutes a day for this next week, 10 being symbolic of that testing, of that waiting time. And you might think, oh, 10 minutes, no big deal. 10 minutes being still, 10 minutes waiting, 10 minutes of just saying, Lord, is there anything that you want to communicate to me? Is there anything that I need to hear? Is there anything that you want to bring to my attention? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because sometimes people are fearful. Uh-oh. If I stop and I turn the radio off and I turn the TV off and if I just sit, maybe God's going to discipline me or maybe God's going to give me a spiritual spanking. You know what? I'd rather have a spiritual spanking than walk in a lie. But be assured, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So when we come to the Lord, we come to our Father. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit also does in us, is He allows us to be able to cry out. He cries out from within us, Abba, Daddy, Abba, Father. That when we come to Him, we can be assured He welcomes us. We can be assured. I thought about this years ago when I was a kid, and I'm glad I kind of learned this as a younger kid versus too late in my life. And that was this. I said, Lord, I noticed something. When I keep my room clean, when I take out the garbage when I'm supposed to, when I do my homework and do the things I'm supposed to do, ooh, things go so easy, smooth. I don't have to worry, but when I see mom and dad, I'm not afraid. Did they find out about something I did wrong or whatever? No, I can say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I said, Father, isn't that a wonderful thing? If I just walk in the right way, in obedience, that I can walk in peace. And He said, my son, what a novel idea. That would be good. And I remember saying to Him, and I encourage you to do the same, Heavenly Father, I want to please You. I want to delight Your heart. I want to honor You. And God's word makes it very clear. If we love Him, we will obey His commandments. And His commandments aren't harsh toward us. They're for our good. They're for His glory. And only the Holy Spirit can truly sanctify us. That means to set apart, to make us holy. Only He can bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Only He can give us the gifts. Only He can give us discernment. Only He can empower us. Only He can encourage us. Only He can abide in us and live in us at all times. Only He can cause us to walk in truth in all that we do and all that we say. And the more we yield, the more we prepare our hearts by being still. And like I'm saying to you, take that 10 minutes a day, starting today, take that 10 minutes and just be still. Don't do all kinds of other stuff. Obviously have your own time in the Word. Absolutely. That's how God chooses to speak to us. But again, remember, who was the one that inspired the Word of God, who spoke it to the 40 authors of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. So what we want to do is take that time, put everything aside, be still, and before you start, just say, Lord, speak to me. I'm here. I'm available. Is there anything that needs to adjust? Is there anything that you want to communicate? Is there anything you want to say? And I assure you, I encourage you to set an alarm, whether it's on your iPhone or whatever. Set an alarm and don't look. Don't open your eyes and keep saying, oh, it's only been 1 minute. You know, don't do that. Just kind of close your eyes and say, hey, I've got 10 minutes uninterrupted. I'm going to make the most of it. And even if there's just stillness, even if there's just quietness, it's a good habit to get into. We're so harried. We're so here, there, back and forth. And a lot of times well-intentioned. I got to do this. I got to do that. And there is a time for action. There is a time to move. But it's after the waiting. It's after the preparing. Then when you move, it's with power. It's with authority. It's with conviction. It's with efficiency. It's with effectiveness. I have one more testimony to share with you, and then I will finish. When I lived in Staten Island, there was a young man that was part of, this was before I lived in Staten Island. There was a young man when I lived in Iowa that was from the church there in Iowa. And I heard when I moved to Staten Island that he was coming into the city to go to college. But that's all I heard. His name is Ryan, but I didn't know where he was at. And I thought, he's coming to my hometown. He's coming to the city. I want to see him. I want to talk with him. I want to have a meal with him. I want to encourage him. But I didn't have his phone number, and I didn't know what college he was at. So he had been on my mind and my heart a couple different times. I would pray for him. But I said, Lord, I'd really like to connect with Ryan. Well, what I would do so often on Sundays is the church that I was at was, again, on the North Shore. And so I was just a short distance from the Staten Island Ferry. I would take the ferry over. Then there's the subway line, at least one right there. No, two right there by the when you get out on the ferry. Take it right up to Times Square. And I'd go to Times Square, would talk, would pray, would just kind of seek the Lord on behalf of the city. Well, this Sunday, I had this urgency, go into the city. So I'm like, okay, I like going to the city, no problem. So I got into the ferry, got to Manhattan side, down by Battery Park. As I get out, I'm like ready to go onto the R or the N or, you know, one of the subway lines to go up to Times Square, as I always did. This day was different. The Lord said to me, no, I want you to walk. And it was a gorgeous day, so I had no problem walking. I said, okay. So I'm walking. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I can clearly see your hand is in this. I can see that you're moving and you're leading me by your Spirit. So I just want to be in tune and sensitive to what you say. Well, I'm continuing to walk. And I walk up to what's called Bleecker Street. And I don't even know how far away, but it seemed like it was a long walk to me, especially when I'm used to taking the subway. So I get to Bleecker Street, and I literally come to a T. And I said, okay, Lord, this is kind of exciting. Because you're clearly leading this. Which way do I go? Left or right? He goes, go left. And I said, okay. I take a left. I walk two blocks up, and there's Ryan. Ryan is getting ready to go into a restaurant. And I said, Ryan, this is incredible. There's 8 million people in this city, and God directed me to you. And so I conveyed with him. I said, it's clear we're supposed to be connected. I did get his phone number at that time, and we did make connections following that. But I just want to encourage you. What adventures and exploits God wants to take you on via the power of his Holy Spirit. How he wants to dispense and administer healing to those who are hurting. How he wants you to usher in light and hope and joy in dark situations, in hopeless situations, in painful circumstances. So take this week, 10 minutes a day. Be still. Listen. And then whatever he says to you, write it down. Journal it somehow. But don't, even during that time, the temptation is going to be to want to say stuff in the midst of it. But just listen. Just listen. Just be still. And then you can say all you want afterwards. Say, thank you, Lord. I needed to hear that. Or I appreciate this. Or Lord, thank you for that, you know, correction that was needed. But remember, it's always to build you up. It's always to strengthen you, to empower you, to renew you. So whatever you're going through, it may, the answer, the conclusion of it may just be 10 days away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the one who testifies of you and of the Son, the one who forms Jesus in us, the one who gives us discernment in these days, the one that leads us with wisdom, the one that dwells in us forever, and the one that makes us holy in your sight. So we give you the praise, we give you the honor, and teach us to wait on you, to be still, and to know that you are God. Teach us to wait for your instruction, and then to go forth in power and in authority, in confidence, in boldness, with your power and with your might. So Lord, we love you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.